Thank you for joining the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Northwestern Division for today's Missouri Basin conference call. This call is provided as a courtesy to congressional representatives, tribal, state, and local government officials, including levy sponsors and emergency managers, as well as the media. I am Eileen Williamson, and I will be your moderator. This call is recorded and placed on the Defense Video and Imagery Distribution Service for media reuse at www.dvidshub.net/unit/USACE-NWD. Your participation acknowledges your consent to be recorded. All lines have been placed on mute. To unmute your line to ask a question, press star 6. Use the unmute function on your computer screen. And note that the forced mute function may still not work on all phones, so if necessary, use your phone's own mute function without placing the call on hold. The question and answer session will take place at the end of the call. Our agenda today is as follows. Starting from the National Center for Environmental Information, we have Doug Cluck. From the National Weather Service Missouri Basin River Forecast Center, we have Kevin Lau. From the Missouri River Water Management Division, John Remus and his team will provide an update of inflows, reservoir storage, and release plans. With that, I will hand the call over to Doug.
Thank you, Eileen. Thanks to the Corps and everyone on the call for being here today and inviting me to speak. Let's go to the next slide. I'm going to give a quick wrap up of what has happened and what to potentially expect in the future. So last 90 days, if you look on the left-hand side of this image, you'll see a temperature departure from normal map. Wherever it's yellow to orange, that's above normal. Wherever it's green and kind of colder colors, that's cooler than normal. So generally over the basin, it's been a little bit warmer than normal since early November. If you add all those days together, it doesn't feel like that necessarily. And you'll see in the last 30 days, this is a little bit different of an image. On the right, percent of normal precipitation during that period. And just note that November through February, more or less, is not a high precipitation time of year for most of the location until you get up in the upper reaches, upper elevations, I should say, of some of the mountains in this region. So this is one of the lower precipitation times of year for most of us in the plains. Although you see that eastern Colorado and western, or most of Kansas for that part, for that matter, have been relatively wet. And some other places in Montana have wettened up a little bit as well over the last 90 days when you add it all up. Let's go to the next slide. Now you see on the left, temperatures again, only the last 30 days though. So early January to early February, this is what we've seen in terms of temperatures. The green to purples, if you will, are cooler than normal temperatures. The yellows are above normal. Also, I'll remark that places like Iowa and Minnesota and eastern Nebraska really haven't seen much snow this year. So that's one of the reasons that they're staying warm, even though many of us, even to their south, are below our normal temperatures. Not that they're warmer than we are to the north. It's just that compared to normal, they're not as cold as they as we have been. On the right, though, what you see there are some really dark reds and maroons or whatever. Those are places where it has not precipitated very much or at all in the last 30 days. So you see Nebraska for the most part, much of South Dakota being very dry. Again, this is not the wettest time of year, but we tend to see a little more snow and a little bit of activity. It doesn't take that much for this to flip to a higher percentage of normal during this time. You do see the big snowstorm sort of indicated south, let's say some Fall City, southeast Nebraska into northwest Missouri and Kansas there. There was quite a bit of snow. But really, for the end, I would say the lower elevations, especially off to the west in the upper basin, all the way down to Colorado, have received decent amounts of precipitation during this period. Next slide. All right. So I'm sure the Corps will talk more about this. If not, Kevin will. These are hard values to see on a small screen, but this is a representation of snow water equivalency. If you melt the snow and how much water comes out of it, that's what these are. And these are the basins that feed the Missouri River main stem eventually in many places here. And you're seeing colors that are kind of green to blue and a little bit of yellow mixed in there, a little bit of orange up north. But for the most part, and the image on the right, by the way, is what it was about a month ago. So increases, I'll say, in percent of normal water available or snow really to melt off, we've seen over the last 30 days. And I'll let the Corps and Kevin talk a little bit more about what that means. Next slide. So this is just an image showing where snow is and how much there is in terms of, again, if you melt it, what do you get out of it? And so if you see that whole gray area up to our north, that's not a lot of snow. That's up to an inch, but it could be a lot less than that of water that comes out of that, and probably is for that matter. The snowpack isn't very deep and isn't it is pretty broad across the north, but certainly not in places like South Dakota, Nebraska, Wyoming, for that matter, and places south of there. And the next slide shows you the snow depth. Go to the next slide, please. Shows you the snow depth compared to normal during this time of year. So even where you saw that snow to the north, except for Montana, there's not as much depth to it in the Dakotas for the most part, especially in the Missouri Basin. And certainly south places south of that. Also, if you go to the west, some places are lacking in snow as well in some of the higher elevations in I'd say in Wyoming primarily. Next slide. So just a general view here of what soil moisture is doing. On the left-hand side, you've got one image, kind of a model image of kind of deeper, like root zone, maybe a foot down, 2 feet down, soil moisture indicators. And where you see yellows and browns and reds, that's lacking in snow soil moisture for this time of year. Where you see blues, that's increased or above normal. And on the right, you see a similar, but not exactly the same, because it's not exactly measuring the same thing. But the whole idea is here is a generality, is to get the general view. And the general view is that the soil moisture in the basin, for the most part, is lacking overall. What that means for us in the long term could mean, if we don't get a lot of spring rains, is things will dry up pretty quickly and a little faster than we want them to be. Runoff also would be less than normal if this, I guess, pattern or if this kind of issue continued. Next slide. So going ahead and looking forward now, total precipitation outlook basically for the next 7 days. Don't get excited about that super light green color. That is minimal amounts of precipitation. I would say this time of year, wherever you see a sort of that darkish, I'll say two layers darker, so the dark green color starts, that's considerable moisture. Now we're talking at least a quarter to a half an inch in that area. So pretty good snow across the north projected. I think that's this weekend, that storm coming through. Some continuing a high level of precipitation across the mountains also in the west. You can see the blues up there in the higher elevations. Lower basin, yep, it looks like some parts of the lower basin are gonna get a little wetter. But I would say nothing to write home about over the next 7 days, but we'll take anything at this point, especially the snow in the north. They've been missing that. Next slide. So the outlook for the second week out, so February 13th through the 19th, is for generally slanting towards below normal temperatures, or I should say leaning towards below normal temperatures, especially up in North Dakota and such. That's where the higher probabilities of that happening are. And then that's the image on the left. And the image on the right, the probabilities are highest if you get into Montana for precipitation being above normal. But there's a general sort of pattern of increased probability of precipitation all the way across the northern sections of the country. A little bit of near normal sneaking in there, I'll say, in the lower basin, near normal being pretty light precipitation this time of year. But nonetheless, it's not like it's showing below or a big drought or anything happening. So let's go to the next slide. So looking at the entire month of February, this is the outlook. On the left is temperature again, where you see the blues. That's for below normal. It's leaning towards below normal temperatures. And on the right, the green is probabilities of above normal precipitation in the green. Again, not a terrible forecast. At least we're not showing a lot of below normal in terms of precipitation. And we're also, believe it or not, this is a good thing, not showing a lot of heat or warmth during the next, through February anyway. And that's a good thing. And if you like water, that is. Next slide. A little longer outlook, February through April. So the pattern here is similar to the last one we just showed, but there's a few differences. The below normal temperatures kind of hang in there, especially across the northern sections, northern upper basin, equal chances to the south. Nothing really to write home about there in terms of temperature, except a leaning towards below. Precipitation outlook shows slightly above normal chances for precipitation across western Montana. Again, nothing too exciting there, and equal chances most of the basin. I will point out that this area bulging up out of the southwest showing slightly increased chances of below normal precipitation is something that is typical. Actually, this pattern that you're seeing in both these maps is pretty typical of a La Nina situation, where you have a below normal temperatures, above normal precipitation, sort of north and northwest, and warmer than normal temperatures to our south, and drier conditions also to our south. And in the spring, often during a La Nina situation, that dry, we call it a dry tongue often, that dry area moves kind of up into the high plains, central and southern high plains. It's not uncommon at all. In Ohio Basin, I know I'm not worried about that, but the Ohio Basin tends to be pretty wet also during this time with a La Nina. Next slide. So drought overall, I've tried to highlight some of the numbers from current versus a year ago. If you look at the map on the left, that's the current drought monitor map. Red indicates the worst conditions. White is no drought condition. Yellow is sort of abnormally dry. It's not even drought, but it's getting there. Compared to last year, again, we're a little bit worse off, especially with sort of more area covering D3, if you will, which is a more severe type of drought. Western Nebraska, Wyoming, and southern South Dakota, and a few spots up there in North Dakota and Wyoming as well. But and then the image on the lower right is the outlook as of January 31st, anyway, till the end of April, in terms of what's going to happen to drought. It's their best guess. And so brown means status quo. The gray means maybe some improvement. The green means they're thinking that drought will go away in some of those green areas, if you will. Yellow means increasing drought. Luckily, none of that is in our area at the time, through April anyway. And then above that is the change. And this I did not update, but I should have. But really, the update is such that there's not a lot of change this time of year, which green means getting wetter, and yellows and browns means getting worse in terms of drought. Not a big change in terms of drought status, I guess, over the last 8 weeks in this case. Next slide. The other way. Nope, gotta go the other way. There you go. Final point, final slide. I know, wake up. Key points, current conditions, current ENSO, that's the El Nino La Nina thing. Weak La Nina will be transitioning to neutral this spring. What does that mean? It means that the typical impacts from La Nina will go away slowly but surely, and we'll be left with harder than normal forecasts in terms of what's going to be happening this late spring into summer. Plain snowpack lacking, except for Montana. Mountain snowpack variable has increased some lately. Lingering drought over much of the upper basin and really the whole basin. Short-term outlook, temperatures generally below normal. Precipitation chances are enhanced. Good thing, active pattern. Long-term, slightly increased chances of below normal temperatures, upper basin, and precipitation chances enhanced again for western Montana. Some dryness poking up into Wyoming, South Dakota, and Kansas, for that matter, and western Nebraska, where we really don't need it, over the next 3 months or so. So that's the outlook. If you want to attend our webinar on February 20th, you can go to that link right there or write me, and I will get you signed up. Thank you.
Thanks, Doug. I promise I didn't fall asleep. I scrolled instead of clicked. So over to Kevin Lau.
All righty. Good afternoon, everyone. As Doug mentioned, I too wish to thank the Corps of Engineers for inviting the National Weather Service to take part in this series of calls. Snowpack, next slide, please. Thank you. Snowpack conditions in the mountains can generally be categorized as being slightly below normal or below average. By this point in the winter, we've normally accumulated about 70% of the seasonal peak snow water equivalent. And so we've still got a little ways to go. Things could still change. The January water supply forecast that we develop here at the National Weather Service probably will be issued today. The numbers show that the April through September, that's the time frame that we run our volumes on, the April through September mountain runoff volumes will be well below normal, we suspect. Going to the plains, as Douglas already spread, but really shallow has 69% of the basin in some level of drought. But even with the predominantly dry soil conditions, there has been some flooding in the basin since our last call. As you may remember, and as Doug alluded to, there was a fairly heavy snow event that blanketed the lower basin in early January. And that snow hung around because it was really cold. That snow hung around for a few weeks. And so with the soils across eastern Kansas and the state of Missouri, northern Missouri, still sort of wet from that snowmelt, we got a 1 to 2 inch rainstorm late last week. And that did lead to some minor to even moderate level flooding along some of the tributaries in eastern Kansas and across Missouri. There has been some river ice issues with the cold January temperatures. Our office has not been has not heard any reports of significant flooding due to those ice conditions, but there was some concern, as we all probably know, along the lower Missouri River itself in mid to late January, as a few ice jams did form, and it resulted in low stages being propagated basically from above Sioux City down to the mouth. Looking ahead, our office again issues 90-day river outlooks toward the end of each month. And the most recent 90-day outlook was executed in late January, and it covers the three-month period extending from late January through late April. And the map that is shown here on this slide depicts the results of that outlook at the 400-plus locations that we monitor across the basin. Flood risk is denoted by the color of the individual dot with green meaning no flooding expected, orange meaning that there's better than a 50-50 chance for minor, red dots mean moderate, and purple means major, and there's no major there. So our most recent river outlook indicates that the only area that has a greater than 50-50 chance of flooding is that area down in eastern Kansas and across the state of Missouri there that has the orange and red dots. Risk for flooding between now and late April is dependent, of course, upon the timing and the location of any Plains snow melt, if we had any Plains snow, rain on snow events, and rain events. And I must hasten to add that our flood outlook that's depicted here does not take into consideration any river ice. Now, as we near the end of this three-month period, which is late April again, we are well into the period of thunderstorm activity in the lower basin, and that does drive the springtime flooding in that area. Our office will be issuing its first spring flood outlook next Thursday, February the 13th, and that will provide the first official National Weather Service quantification of flood potential across the entire basin. And that outlook will be based on the three-month period ending in mid-May. So we're going to add 2 or 3 weeks to the map that you see here. And with that, I can assure you that there's going to be more colored dots in the lower basin. I don't expect a whole lot of dots in the upper basin or out in the mountains. I think we're going to have a below normal flood risk this year. But anyway, we will issue our first spring flood outlook, our real one, next Thursday. And with that, I'll turn it back over to you, Eileen. Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin. And I'm going to hand it to John Remus.
Thank you, Eileen. And thank you, Doug and Kevin, for your insights. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us. I'm John Remus, Chief of the Missouri River Basin Water Management Division. Our office is responsible for regulating the Missouri River Mainstream Reservoir System. This is the second of our 2025 monthly stakeholder calls. I will provide some general remarks, and then I will turn the discussion over to my senior staff for more detailed information. As always, I want to assure everyone that in the basin that the Corps of Engineers is fully committed to our flood risk management reduction mission, protecting people and businesses when we can from significant runoff events that pose a threat to human health and safety. It is important to understand that the volume, timing, and location at which runoff enters the system significantly impacts the timing and amount of water released from the reservoirs. Each runoff season or flood is unique. Care should be taken when comparing one event to another. We at the Corps of Engineers understand the importance of the Missouri River in providing water for irrigation, municipal, and industrial uses throughout the basin. We operate the system to meet the water supply requirements of the basin to the extent reasonably possible. There is presently and will be adequate water in the reservoirs and in the river reaches between the reservoirs and below the system to serve all water supply needs. I do want to remind everyone that the Corps of Engineers does not provide or guarantee access to the water. Maintaining access to the water is the individual facility owner operator's responsibility. Further, we will continue to meet our statutory requirements to operate the Missouri River Mainstream Reservoir System for its authorized purposes, as described in the Master Water Control Manual. Final 2024-2025 Annual Operating Plan was posted in December. You can find a copy of the AOP on our website. Lastly, the runoff forecast and projected reservoir releases and pool levels that Kevin Stomm and Mike Swinson will be discussing are based on the best available information. Actual conditions may differ. This concludes my opening remarks. Thank you very much. I will now turn the discussion over to Kevin Stomm.
Okay. Thank you, John. So we're now on slide 18. In the 2025 calendar year runoff forecast for the Upper Missouri Basin above Sioux City, Iowa, is 20.6 million acre feet, which is 80% of average, and it's highlighted in red as that last bar on the chart. Moving on to slide 19, the below average runoff forecast for 2025 reflects current drier than normal soil moisture in the upper basin, below average mountain snowpack, and below average plain snowpack. As seen on this slide, we are expecting below average runoff during the high runoff periods of March through April, typically when the plain snowpack melts, and May through July, typically when mountain snowpack melts. Moving on to slide 20. These graphics show the departure from normal snow water equivalent, or SWE. And SWE is the amount of water contained in the snowpack that would be available for runoff to replenish soil moisture when the snow melts. The left image shows the plain SWE deficit on January 4th, especially in northeastern Montana, North Dakota, and South Dakota, which historically maintain a seasonal plain snowpack. Differences in these areas range from 1/4 to 1/2 inch of SWE deficit. As of February 4th, in the right image, a light plain snowpack has developed in Montana due to some recent snowfall. Meanwhile, eastern North Dakota, eastern South Dakota, eastern Nebraska, and Iowa are still in a snow deficit. Moving on to slide 21. The mountain snowpack is accumulating at a below average rate in both the above Fort Peck and Fort Peck to Garrison reaches in the upper Missouri River Basin. The mountain snowpack in the above Fort Peck reach, shown in the left graph, is 86% of average. It is compared to the highest and the lowest peak snowpack over the last 30 years, as well as the average snowpack for the reach. The mountain snowpack in the Fort Peck to Garrison reach, shown on the right graph, is 90% of average. It is important to note that close to 65% of the accumulation period has elapsed in the upper basin, with snowpack typically peaking in mid-April. Now on to slide 22. This graphic provides a status update on the Upper Missouri River Monitoring Network as more stations were completed last year. There are now 295 of the 540 total sites completed and transmitting data, with another 170 scheduled to be installed in fiscal year 25 and 26. All stations are scheduled to be installed by 2027. Each station is designed to measure meteorological data, precipitation, snow depth, soil moisture, and soil temperature at 5 different depths. Data provided by the stations help improve products such as the no-risk snow map, which was shown on previous slides, and to inform our runoff forecast. So in summary, the 2025 calendar year runoff forecast is 20.6 million acre-feet, 80% of average. I'll now turn the webinar over to Mike.
Okay, thanks, Kevin. Gavin's Point releases are currently at 14,000 CFS. Releases will remain at that rate until downstream ice conditions improve and will then be reduced back down to the winter rate of 12,000 CFS. Garrison releases are currently at 23,500 CFS. Releases are expected to remain at that rate through February, downstream conditions permitting. I'm going to move on to talk about the monthly simulations or monthly studies. The basic simulation uses the runoff forecast that Kevin just discussed. Due to the amount of variability in precipitation and other hydrologic factors that can occur over the next several months, we also develop an upper and lower runoff that are then used in the upper and lower basic simulations. These simulations provide a range of reservoir elevations and releases that may be expected under the different runoff scenarios. The discussion to follow will focus on the basic or most likely runoff forecast. Information on the other simulations is posted on our webpage. Turning now to slide 24. System storage is currently 49.9 million acre feet, 6.2 million acre feet below the base of the annual flood control zone. Moving on to slide 25 and looking at the upper three reservoirs, Fort Peck, Garrison, and Oahe are currently 8.1, 5.1, and 10 feet below the base of their respective flood control pools. The reservoirs will start this year's runoff season approximately 7 to 8 feet below the base of their flood pools. Now on to slide 26, navigation service level and season length. was used to determine releases from Gavin's Point Dam to support navigation and in combination with the bank stabilization and navigation project to help provide the downstream navigation channel. The navigation service level at the start of the navigation flow support is typically based on the March 15th system storage. Under the basic stimulation, we would be providing flow support at a level approximately 4,500 CFS below full service for the first part of the navigation flow support. For that level of service on the basic stimulation, Gavin's Point monthly average releases range from approximately 25,000 to 30,000 CFS. The service level for the remainder of the navigation season and the navigation season length are based on the July 1 system storage. Under the basic forecast, flow support for navigation would remain at approximately 4,500 CFS below service after the July 1st storage check. There would be a normal 8-month flow support season under the basic forecast. Moving on to slide 27, as previously announced, there will be no dam in 2025. Energy generation at the main stem dams under the basic 4 billion kilowatt hours. The long-term average is 9.4 billion kilowatt hours. And the last shows the Missouri weekly update on the top of the slide. This webpage gives a general overview of the current conditions in the Missouri River Basin and is updated weekly, usually on Tuesday morning. That concludes my comments. So I'll turn it back to you, Eileen.
All right, thanks, Mike. We have not yet determined what date we will hold our call in March or if we will be out in the basin. So more to follow. Keep an eye on your email with respect to the next. Slide shows the names and emails of our speakers as well as their position titles for members of the media. We will move to the question and answer. We will go in alphabetical order by state. Please state your name and the organization that you represent before asking your question. And you'll need to come off mute by pressing either star 6 or using your computer's unmute function to come off mute. The first state is the state of Iowa. Kansas. Missouri. Montana. Nebraska, North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, questions, I will hand the call for closing comments.
As I mean, invited on when our next call is, that's because we're still scheduling spring. Due to logistical March 19th in Centerville, Missouri and Bellevue, Nebraska. Excuse me, March 19th in Smithville, Missouri and Bellevue, Nebraska. The upper basin meetings are tentatively planned for the week of March. Times and venues are still being looked at there as well as our logistics. With that, we will probably schedule a meeting for the first week of for the first week of March, probably March 6th, but more to come on that. Also, as we move through the winter and into the spring, I encourage everyone to monitor our website for information on releases and pool levels. They can change and sometimes change very quickly. Also, please pay attention to the weather and local forecasts and local conditions. Being on or near water is inherently dangerous, and even more so when it is cold or when ice is present. I will offer one last chance for questions before I end the meeting. Again, star six to come off. Went once, twice. With that, I'll end the call. Thank you all for calling in this afternoon.
That concludes today's call.